We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abalebis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Aliyah ben Abba and Leah bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shemot Dov, their neshama should have an Aliyah. We are in the midst of a Mishnah, Parak 4, Mishnah 21. Rebbe Lazar HaKapar Omer. Rebbe Lazar HaKapar says as follows. We started it last week, we're going to continue this week. And let's see, everybody who's coming and joining on Zoom, please make sure you are muted. Star 6 is mute. Okay, Rebbe Lazar HaKapar Omer, Hakina v'atayva v'akavod motziyana sa'adam min ha'olam. Envy, lust, and desire remove a person from this world. We started off last week by asking a bunch of different questions, several questions that helped us lead into what the commentaries are going to tell us. And that is broken down into three different parts. We'll briefly review it. The three parts to the questions that we're asking on envy, lust, and honor, how they remove us from the world is, first of all, what does envy, lust, and honor mean? We spent some time talking about that last week. Why are these three chosen versus any other three things or four things or 100 things that might be causing us to leave the world, whatever leave the world actually means? Are these three things always bad? Are there any positive uses to envy, lust, and honor, or are they something that are categorically negative? And then finally, what is, in terms of the internal big questions, which world are they taking us from? Motzinas adam min ha'olam, from this world, from the next world, which world are we being removed from? The second host of questions are in terms of a close reading. So those were the big questions in terms of the Mishnah, the close reading of the Mishnah, which was basically, for those who remember, surrounding the word, the letter hey. Why does the letter hey have such a prominent place in our Mishnah? Hakina, ha tavod, ha kavod, ha adam, ha olam. It's the envy, the lust, the honor, the person, the world. What is the hey? Why is everything specifically stated with a hey at the beginning? It could have just deleted the hey, and we would have had what seems to have been the same message. Kina taiva kabod motzienas adam min olam. Okay, doesn't sound right because we're not used to it that way, but that could have been written and we would have understood the mission the same way. So what's the message of the hey? And then finally, the external questions, which were, what's the connection to the previous Mishnah? Is there a connection to the entire Perek? And is there a connection to similar Mishnayos? If you remember, we've had two other Mishnayos that tell us that there are things that are in danger of taking us out of this world. We had in Mishnah, Perek Bey's Mishnah Yud Aleph, Rabbi Yeshua says, Ayin hara v'yetzer hara v'sinas habrios motzina sa'adam min ha'olam, an evil eye, evil inclination, and hatred of humankind remove us from the world. And then Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanah said, Shena shel shachris v'yayin shel tzarayim v'sichas hayeladim v'yeshivas batei knesel shel amei aretz motzina sa'adam min ha'olam, that when we sleep in the morning, when we drink wine in the middle of the day, and when we basically sit down and schmooze and waste time, that's also going to cause us to be removed from this world. So how is our Mishnah, which states kina, taiva, and kavod, envy, desire, and honor remove us from the world? How are they related or different from other Mishnayos that have the same terminology of removal from the world? Okay, so those are the big questions we're going to ask. What do these three things mean? Why these three? Why are they always bad? What does the hey mean? And then what's the connections to other concepts that we've seen before? So let's start off here with source number two. For those who received the new email, this is now source number two. For those who did not and are using last week's sheet, this is going to be at the end, the last source where it says Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, I forgot what number it is, but it's the last source on the old sheet. It's source number two on the new sheet. And we're going to start off with this Abarbanel because, as we've seen in the past, the Abarbanel is known for his question raising in the beginning of a Mishnah. And the reason why I want us to focus on the question raising is because this is a good methodology for learning and a good methodology for teaching, is that in the beginning we ask questions. We want to know, the questions get our brain the inquiry gets our brain thinking, and we want to now discover and try to figure out what's going on in the Mishnah. So the Abarbanel classically likes to open up every Mishnah, and when he's doing psukim in the Chumash, he opens up the Chumash different sections with lots and lots and lots of questions. So here, the Abarbanel, we're not even going to do all the questions because he has many more. It will take us a while to get through them, but we're just going to focus on two of the questions. One of them is related to the questions we've asked, but he spells it out, formulates it a little bit differently. And the second question is, even though we just asked a whole lot of questions to get us started, we didn't even come close to this question that he asked, which is, again, another indication that it's important to ask as many questions as possible and to use the commentaries as a guide to ask these questions, because once we ask the questions, then our brains can start working on discovering the answers. So again, the Abarbanel, source number 2 in the new sheets and the last source in the older sheets from last week, writes as follows: Kedei lahativ hahavana be'emes kavana hashalem hazeh. In order to understand the truth of what this perfect Tana is teaching us, hine ma tovu mana'im lo'or bedvarav eila shelos. And I love how he formulates this. How great would it be to let's ask questions, tavo hatratam bever hadrosh, and then we will answer them in our explanation. So here's question number 1. Rishona. Beomro hakina v'taiva v'akavod, ki ma ra lahagbil shloshes hadvarim ha'ela lahotzi. So we asked a similar question to this. Why pick these three? Why choose kina, taiva, and kavod as these three, as our paradigms here? And that's, ki ma ra lahagbil shloshes hadvarim ha'ela lahotzi asa adam min ha'olam, v'lo zachar shara midos haraos shiotziwa so gam kein mimenu. And why not pick other character traits that can remove us from the world? Are these the only three that can throw us into danger? Kol shekein shataiva v'kavod kefi ma sheperishu osam kvar yuchlu b'kina ki u'b'kinasu b'mamon chavero b'ishto o b'chvodo yisav alein v'yivakesh osam. Now he asks a secondary question here, is that if you think about these three concepts, he argues that the relationship between these concepts is important as well. What's the relationship between kina, taiva, and kavod? He argues that taiva and kavod are actually just outgrowths of kina, that everything comes from envy, from having something that I don't have and desiring that, and that's the main character trait. And taiva is a desire for those things that are materialistic, and kavod is a desire for honor, for more of an ego-based desire. So they're both outgrowths of kina. So even though we're probably not going to elaborate on the answer to this question because it's going to take us too far afield, I want us to just realize that another aspect of this, to get even more nuanced, is to figure out the relationship in between kina, taiva, and kavod. And here the Abarbanel hints to the fact that if we want to understand this better, we really want to understand what the relationship is. And for his understanding, kina is the starting point, and taiva and kavod are outgrowths of kina. Vena kavod kim davar nimshach achar kinas me'azulos, v'lama im kein asam shlosha biyosem achad. And therefore, his question is, why are we separating them into three if at the end of the day there's actually just one? It really is just envy. And envy is our main category. The other two are subcategories. So why spell them out as three separate things? That's question number 1. Question number 2, Shainis, ba'omer motzina sa'adam min ha'olam, v'lo yadanu im amro ala olam hazeh o ala olam haba. And this we elaborated on last week. We don't know when it says olam, if olam means this world or the next world. V'im kavanaso ha'olam hazeh, if it means it's going to remove you from this world, eich yitztak ma'amaro sheshol shehem ayu sibas hamabes. If it means that basically we're going to die because of kina, taiva, and kavod, then the Abarbanel asks a simple question. And the question is, these are the only reasons somebody could die, kina, taiva, and kavod? Ki gam biltam amaves yichrichi al amorkav kemosha amaru ha'atzimo ha'iludim lamos. Even without kina, taiva, and kavod, we're eventually going to die. So why say these things will kill you? Lots of things can kill me. Vim kivin ha'olam haba. So that's if it's That's if it's this world. If it's the next world, im kiven alom haba, sha'isha asher yimtzu bo shlosha chasronos ha'elu, eino chelok lam haba, if it means it's going to remove us from the next world, then the Abarbanel asks a very simple question. What's the simple question? If it means remove me from the next world, im kain, lama im kain amar motzien, remove me. Who put me in that I would be removed? Right? We're talking about getting into the next world. So I should have formulated it as you're not going to get into the next world. Why does it say, it's going to remove me from the next world? I'm not in there to be taken out. So it could be we can answer that question, but it's still an important thing to think about, is that when we use the terminology of motzien and we're trying to analyze, are we talking about this world, we're talking about the next world? Well, if it's this world, why choose these three things? Lots of things can kill me. If it's the next world, then why does it use the word motzien to take me out of? I didn't get in there in the first place that I should be taken out of. So these are the Abarbanel's two questions that he starts off with, and he has more. Again, we'll stop here for his questions to help us transition into to start answering some of them. So if you go into the new sheet, source number 3, in the old sheets, I believe it's the second to last source. I don't remember exactly, but it should be labeled the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel. I mean, I apologize if you are using the last sheets and you didn't get the new ones, and I'm sorry I can't use screen sharing. Apparently, my father's texting me as he's listening, and I see it popping up on my phone. This is a worldwide problem. Zoom has cracked. It's not working so well all over the world. I can't share my screen either. So for those who don't see the sheets, I apologize for that. In the new sheets that we sent out through the email, the Medrash Shmuel, it's confusing because I moved around in the new sheets some of the sources in the Medrash Shmuel. So you're going to have a hard time following this. I apologize. We're starting with the source that's the in the Medrash Shmuel that says Vehachasid. It should be underlined Vehachasid. And what the Medrash Shmuel here does in the paragraph Vehachasid is he quotes the Yaivitz who we saw last week. And to summarize, I wanted to start off with this as a remembering to turn it to push it back and to recall what we did last week. The Yaivitz basically argues that the Mishnah is saying Motzina Sa'adam Mina Olam means it's going to remove you from both worlds, both from this world and from the next world. And that the danger of envy, desire, and honor is that I am going to do things in this world that are going to damage my life. My life will be shorter because of the dangers that come in through envy, lust, and desire. It also removes me from the next world because envy, lust, and desire tend to overlap with many sins. So we don't have to choose, does it remove me from this world, does it remove me from the next world? It could remove me from both worlds. So that's the first paragraph in the Medrash Shmuel. The next paragraph in the Medrash Shmuel is addressing the question of why these three. Lots of things can remove me from the world. So he writes as follows. The paragraph starts, Ulihiyos. Ulihiyos ki lo rabim yachkimu leval yiflu bimimkomaros elu agimol advarim. So he says the reason why these three is because these are universal. Most people, if not everybody, struggles on some level with kina, taiva, and kavod. Virova olam nichshalim behem. Most of the world not only struggles with them, but they fail on some level with kina, taiva, and kavod. Shetivam natui aleim. Because this is our nature. Our nature is that envy, desire, and honor, we're drawn towards them and they cause damage for us. That's why he's picking these three and he's yelling and he's screaming at us, imploring us, probably a better word, that we have to be careful about kina, taiva, and kavod, because if we're not, these are things that we all struggle with and the dangers are real and we see it in newspapers and we see it in literature and we see it in, hopefully not too much in our own lives, but we probably see it in our own lives, that these three things can destroy people. Uvimishnas Rabbi Yeshua Amar, and now, so here, So we'll get to that in a second. The next concept in the Medrash Shmuel. So first concept is Motzina Sa'adam min ha'olam means from both worlds. Second concept is that the reason why we choose these three is because they're universal and we all struggle with them and the danger is real. The next point in the Medrash Shmuel here is the paragraph that starts Inyon Kishur HaMishnah HaZos. I'm pretty sure in the old sheets, it's the first paragraph in the Medrash Shmuel. In the new sheets, it's the third paragraph. For those on Zoom, if you are joining our meeting and are not muted, please make sure to mute yourself by pressing *6 on your phones. *6, make sure you're muted. So the Medrash Shmuel says as follows, and now we're going to address what the connection is of this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah. So if you remember from 2 weeks ago, the previous Mishnah stated, Al tistakel bekankan ela bameh sheyesh bo. Don't look at the external, at the bottle, but look at what's inside the bottle. Right? As we said, sort of in a contemporary way of phrasing it, is don't judge a book by its cover. But don't judge a bottle by the outside, rather on what's inside. So the Medrash Shmuel suggests that Mishnah is very much related to this Mishnah on three levels. And it's a very creative read here, and it'll be a nice review of that previous Mishnah as well. And here's what he says. Inyan Kishur HaMishnah HaZos, Im Shilamayla HaMenu. The connection between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. Who? Shebe Mishnas al tistakel bekankan, yesh shlosha perushim deshaychi ba, kefi sheperashti la'el. There are three possible explanations of the Mishnah of don't judge a bottle by its externals. What are the three possible explanations of that? So for those who remember, im be'inyan halimud, when it comes to learning, Sha'al yistakel bekankan el b'masha yeshbo v'yelech l'mod afilu minaktanim. One possible explanation is that I should be willing to learn from anybody, even from those who are younger than me, and even from those who are less experienced than me. I should be looking to learn from everybody. That's one explanation. Explanation number two. V'gam sha'al yistakel bekankan v'hem inyane ha'tayvos ha'gufanios. Don't look at the external, meaning don't look at the desire, the materialistic, which is just the glamour and the shimmer and the shine. Don't look at the external, rather look at the internal, meaning the spiritual. That's explanation number two. Explanation number three, V'gam shi'echabed afilu mishu bazoi v'shasoi v'al yistakel bekankan, is that don't judge people who look externally bad. Don't judge their personality, their whole person, based on their externals. There might be something very special, there probably is something very special on the internal. So three explanations of al yistakel bekankan al bameh sheyeshbo. Don't judge a teacher by how young they are and that you can learn from everybody. Number two is don't focus on the externalities, the physicality, but rather on the spiritual. And number three is don't focus on judging people by how they look on the outside. They can be very special on the inside, even though on the outside you might judge them more negatively. So he says, from those three explanations, we have our Mishnah, Hakina, Vataiva, Vahakavod. And we'll do this outside for the sake of time. But he says that, and you can think about how these three line up in your as we do this. The first one in terms of don't be discouraged. Don't say, I'm not going to learn from somebody who's younger. That lines up with kinna. Because if I have some level of enviousness and that I want to know everything and that I want to, and I don't want to look at somebody who's younger than me and think they know more, and it's going to cause a bad level of enviousness, so I want to stay away from that. So therefore, that envy would get in the way of me learning from somebody who's younger than me. So therefore, it tells us, kinna, to line up with al tistakel bekankan, make sure you learn from everybody. And then taiva, desires, lines up with the explanation that don't focus on physicality, don't focus on materialism. And that counteracts with taiva. And then the third explanation, that I shouldn't look at people and discard them or disgrace them or embarrass them because of how they look on the outside, lines up with kavod. I should honor everybody, not just people who I think I should honor based on how they look on the outside. So what the Medrash Shmuel does here is a very creative reading, is he takes three explanations from the previous Mishnah and says that this Mishnah is coming and counteracting or relating to those three components of the previous Mishnah. So that's one very creative read by the Medrash Shmuel to line these two Mishnayos up together. He gives another explanation in the next paragraph here. The paragraph for those following on the old source sheets starts Ve'efsher od lomar. So he says as follows: Ve'efsher od lomar kilefi shelamayla davar belimud haTorah kefi pashtan shel dvarim al kein atahis hira shalim azeh lomod haTorah. So he says that maybe you can say that this Mishnah is relating to previous Mishnayos in the sense that they all have to do with learning Torah. What does this have to do with learning Torah? Va'amar shelo yilmod es haTorah rak mi'ahavaso osa lo l'shum siba acheres ki im yechavein lilmod l'shum siba me'elu ashelo sibos he'motzina sa'adam min ha'olam. So the point here, and we're going to elaborate on this on two fronts. The point here is that the Mishnah previously, Al Tistakel B'Kankan, he says, can also be looked at as talking about learning Torah. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we had that learning as well, that the Mishnah is talking about learning Torah. And then you can look at our Mishnah also talking about learning Torah. So what does our Mishnah, Kina, Taiva, Kavod, have to do with learning Torah? So he says that you can, in theory, learn Torah for ulterior motives that are not so appropriate. We can learn Torah because we are envious of other people and we want to be like them. We can learn Torah because we desire money. Might sound silly, but on some level, there are places where people pay you to learn. And maybe there's some level of monetary gain that I can get from learning. And that desire for monetary gain, and I don't have to go to work, can be a motivation for some people to learn. And then in terms of kavod, some people learn because they want people to honor them. So for all three of these motivations, these are not ideal. We want to learn because we love learning, not for kinna purposes, not for taiva purposes, and not for kavod purposes. And the two fronts that I want us to think about here is that number one is that when we want to think about the audience, as it were, who are the people who are reading these Mishnayos? So we read, and we've mentioned this a long time ago, I don't remember exactly when, but who is supposed to listen to this message of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod? We read it, and we are the masses, as it were, and we're trying to learn messages and meaning from Pirkei Avos, and that's definitely one level of Pirkei Avos and its purpose. The other level of Pirkei Avos and its purpose is that it's specifically geared on some level to those who are in a life in the Beis Medrash. So in the life in the Beis Medrash is a different life than those who are outside the Beis Medrash. Both lives can be infused with spirituality and both lives have their own challenges, but it's important for us to think about the audience when this statement is made. The audience could in theory be the masses, those who are out there in the world, and the audience also could be those who are in the Beis Medrash. So if the audience is those who are out there in the world, then the message of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod having to do with learning, it might be relevant, but it's not that relevant, because most people aren't spending their time learning for Kina, Taiva, and Kavod purposes. If the message is generally what my character is, and how envy and desire and honor can take me from the world, then that's a universal message that applies to everybody. So the Medrash Shmuel here is giving us both of these types of audiences. There's the audience of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, which is the universal message that envy and desire and honor can remove somebody from the world, and apply that to generally every single person in every single situation, we have to be worried about this. And then there's the more particularistic message, the more targeted message towards those who are learning. And for those who are learning, they probably also have to be worried about the general kina, taiva, and kavod that apply on a universal level, but there's an added level of kina, taiva, and kavod that are particular to within the context of the base medrash, particular to the context of learning Torah that they should be aware of. So that's kina, taiva, and kavod in the context of learning. And what this also does is it opens us up to a discussion of, are there appropriate kina, taiva, and kavod? If you remember, we started this year asking that question. Are kina, taiva, and kavod always negative, or are there any positive outcomes that can come from kina, taiva, and kavod? So you might have argued that there is a positive envy that I want to learn, and I want to learn more, and I want to get to that level of learning that somebody else is at, so I'm learning in order to get there. That could be, and there are sources in Chazal that state this, a positive motivation or a positive outcome of kina. So the question is, how are we in our Mishnah going to look at that? Is that something that we are going to say is okay? Is that something we're going to say is not included in the kina, taiva, and kavod, motziyana, sa'adim, and olam? No, that's an okay envy. And maybe there's an okay desire that might help lead to various positive outcomes. And maybe there's an okay honor that leads to positive outcomes. And those are functional, spiritually allowed honors. Or do we say that categorically they're all bad? So here, again, with that in mind, let's go back to the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel says, even in the context of learning Torah, these motivations are dangerous. And even these motivations in the context of Torah can remove somebody from the world. Continuing in the Medrash Shmuel, line 3 in the new sources. V'zeh ki lefamim yilmad adam mesibas hakina shemekane bechavero v'kina sofrim tar bechachma lo me'avas haTorah atzma v'ale omar zeh ha'shalom hakina. So he says, even though I'm learning because I'm doing something positive, I'm learning Torah, because kina sofrim tarba chachma, there's a positive quality to this, that by me wanting to catch up to the person sitting next to me and their learning, that might be considered a positive spin. No, that is kina in our Mishnah. Because I'm not learning because I love Torah, I'm learning because I want to be like that guy. And some people learn because they want to get paid. They want to make money. And they're doing it for the desire. And for those who are learning to get paid, that's the taiva in our Mishnah. Nichnas rishon v'yotzei rishon, the person who learns because they want to be honored, they want to go first. V'al shloshes elu akavanos amar ki motziyan es ha'adim min ha'olam, ki lo be'elu chelek Yaakov rak lilmod me'avas Hashem yisparach. He's quoting the Re-Lirma here, review the Lirma. That even these three things are going to remove you from the world. So you're learning Torah. You're doing something that's awesome, but you're doing it for ulterior motives. You're doing it because you want to be like that person. You're envious of them. You're doing it because you want money. You're doing it because you want honor. Those remove you from the world. So that's a pretty broad statement. So far, we haven't seen any positive usages or heterim, as it were, allowances for the concept of kina, taiva, and kavod. These character traits, according to this reading, seem to be totally off board. They are not allowed. They are not things that we should be doing, even for functional, positive goals and purposes, even for the sake of learning Torah, we should stay away from them. So that brings us, we'll come back to the Medrash Shmuel shortly, but that brings us to the Chaste Avos in source, in the new sheet, source number 4, in the old sheets, I don't remember what source number it is, but it should be boxed off on the left-hand side next to the Medrash Shmuel. The Chaste Avos writes as follows. He starts off by saying, similar to the Medrash Shmuel, that these three things, even in the context of learning, can remove you from this world. But he ends off with a positive takeaway, with a positive usage of these three character traits. And this is an important thing to consider, because on some level, right, God created everything within us. All of our character traits, all of our drives, as it were, can be understood as being positive on some level. I mean, it's a functional piece. There's a positive spin that we can put to anything that God granted us. And because of that, we might want to not take such a hard view and say that kinah, tayv, and kavod are categorically problematic, because everything has a reason and everything has a purpose. And if that's the case, we might want to challenge ourselves to finding a positive spin for what kinah, tayv, and kavod can do for us. We might have thought that kinah, tayv, and kavod might be good from a Torah perspective, from a learning perspective, but so far we've seen that's not so great, at least according to the Medrash Shmuel and the Chas de Avos. So we want to think creatively, how else can I use kinah, tayv, and kavod for a positive spin? Is there any good that I can take away from these? So starting in the towards the bottom of the Chas de Avos, the last word on the line is amnam. It's after a period. He says amnam. Now the first word on the line is yesh, around 10 lines from the bottom. Amnam yesh bahem shehem mutaros mishehu mekane lahashem. So what are the permissible types of traits when it comes to kinah, tayv, kavod? So one kinah that's allowed is mekana la'ashem, like Pinchas, bli tarov Hashem etz minyan el hamazeh. If I am envious for the sake of God, if I see other people serving, worshiping idols, and I'm envious of for God's sake that I want to stop that, and there's no ulterior motive, it's all for the sake of God, like Pinchas, In when he did his act of zealotry, that was because he was envious for the sake of God. He didn't want other people doing that. That would be a permissible envy. How to understand Pinchas and what that means for our own zealotry, we'll say for a different time. But at the very least, we're identifying that there's some level of using that enviousness for positivity. Number two, va'taiva. La'avod avodas Hashem, la'asos ritzono yisbarach. So I love this concept. He says you can have a desire, a burning desire, we might call it a passion, to serve God. So we can sublimate, we can use our taiva, and not just use it for materialistic, to use it to serve God, for the spirituality of it. Not taiva of money, that I'm going to learn Torah for money. That's not okay. Even though I'm learning Torah, which is positive, if my motivation is to make money, that's not okay. But what's the positive taiva? The positive taiva is a passion and desire to serve God. And that's one way that I can use this trait for the positive. And then finally, when it comes to kavod, va'kavod, ki ritzono lios nechbad kidei sheyishmu musaro v'tochachto dafka b'lishum p'niya acheres klal. Why is honor, what can be positive about honor? What can be positive about honor is that if I know that it's about influence. If that I want to influence people to do what's right and to do what's good, if they don't respect me, if they don't like me, if they don't give me that honor, then I can't influence them. And if I want to influence them for the good, that honor is necessary. So if my motivation in honor is not honor for my ego, not honor for myself, but honor to know that with power I can do good, there's influence when people honor me that I can do to get tzedakah, to teach Torah, to do chesed. If that's my drive for the honor, then that's a positive honor. So what the Chas de Avos does for us is he looks carefully and tries to identify that even within these three things of kinah, tayv, and kavod that generally remove us from the world 99% of the times, we can redeem the sparks, as it were, of these three negative traits. They're generally negative, even they have a positive spin to them. finally, the last piece in the Medrash Shmuel that we're going to do for today is the paragraph that starts Ve'efsher od lomar, ki elu hashlosha heim ayin hara v'yetzer hara v'sinas habrios. It's the last paragraph in the new sheets. I'm not sure which paragraph it is in the old sheets. I apologize again. The Medrash Shmuel here says he's going to connect this to another Mishnah. If you remember, we started the Medrash Shmuel today connecting it to the previous Mishnah of Al Tistakel B'Kankan Ela B'Mesh Yeshbo. Now what the Medrash Shmuel is going to help us do is connect this to the Mishnah that we saw in Beis Yud Aleph, where it says, Rabbi Yeshua said, Ayin Hara and Yetzer Hara and Sinas Abrios remove a person from this world. So the evil eye, the evil inclination, and hatred for humankind remove people from this world. So we asked, what's the connection between our Mishnah, that there are three things, Kinna, Taiv, and Kavod, that remove somebody from the world, and that Mishnah that says, Ayin Hara, Yetzer Hara, and Sinas Abrios are Motziyin Asa Adam Min HaOlam, remove a person from this world. So what the Medrash Shmuel here does for us is he connects our Mishnah to that Mishnah in a direct way, right? And we can start using our thinking to connect them. We have three over there and we have three over here. Maybe they can actually line up 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So what's Kina? Kina is related to Ayin Hara. Taiva is related to Yetzer Hara. Kavod is related to Sinas Habrios. And it's a direct one-to-one match of these three things are the same three things that Rabbi Yeshua said are Motziyin Es Adam Min HaOlam. He's giving us different terminology to say the same exact point. Let's read that inside. The Efshar Od Lomar, Ki Elu HaShlosha Heim Ayin Hara V'Yetzer Hara V'Sinas Habrios, Sha'am Rabbi Yeshua Shemotziyin Es Adam Min HaOlam. It's the same three things that Rabbi Yeshua said. The low pligi. It's not a disagreement. It's not these, Rabbi Yeshua thinks these three things are moving from the world. And then we come along and say, no, not those three things, these three things. No, that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is saying the same three things. Ki akina eno ba rak misibas ayin ra. Kina, enviousness, comes from an evil eye. She eno ra b'shalacherim. I see what other people have. V'sibaso ba'akina. And by me looking at what other people have, I want it, I desire it. And that's where kina comes from. U'kineged yetzer hara, ki hu sirsur ha'taivas ha'gufanios k'kinegdo amar ha'taiva. And taiva is yetzer hara. The yetzer hara, the evil inclination, is directly lined up to what my desires are and my materialistic and physical pleasures that I pursue. U'kineged sinas habrios amar va'kavod. And against hating people is kavod, is honor. V'zek hi ikar siba seyos adam sones habrios ve'inu chafetz b'chevratam rak badad yashav michutz ha'machaneh moshavo hu misibas ha'kavod. Why is it hard to get along with people? Why do I sometimes not like people? It's because I want honor. V'choshu ki inem achabdim also. If I think nobody respects me, right? I don't get no respect. Nobody respects me. Ki ha'kavod ha'roya lovim mizalzim b'chvod. I'm going to stay away from people. I'm going to stay away. And that's why both of these add up and line up that these three things are what are going to remove me from the world. So according to the Medrash Shmuel, this connects to the previous Mishnah, and it also connects to the other time in Perkei Avos where we have this idea of Motziyin Es HaAdam Min HaOlam. Okay, so now we're going to close with the Abarbanel, and then we're going to recap, because the Abarbanel is going to add another layer here as to what these three things can represent. Actually, two layers. So we started off with questions from the Abarbanel. Now we're going to see how he starts answering them. So he says as follows. This is the Abarbanel in the new sheet, source number 5. In the old sheets, just go down to the last source. And this should be the third paragraph or so. After he asks his questions, he now starts to answer them. V'omer. Shekemosha b'kol echad min ha'prakim ha'kodmim b'meseches hazos, b'sofa perech hevi misadar mishnayos mishna achas she'a mishpata kolol drushe ha'perek o'rubam. The Abarbanel does something here that he's done throughout Perkei Avos. The Abarbanel is the one with the thesis that it's not just that mishnayos are connected when they're next to each other. And it's not just that we can thematically connect Mishnayos that are similar in content, but the Abarbanel has the argument that each perek has its own narrative and that there's a running theme within each perek. And that at the end of the perek, at the end of the chapter, the statements at the end of the chapter, right now we're at the end of chapter 4, are going to be a commentary on the statements at the beginning of the chapter. So what the Abarbanel is going to do for us is he's going to line up our Mishnah at the end of chapter 4 to the Mishnah at the beginning of chapter 4. What was the Mishnah at the beginning of chapter 4? For those who remember, we said, Ezehu Ashir Hasomech Bechalko. Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro. Ezehu Mechubar HaMechaber Es HaBrios. Who is rich? One who is happy with his lot. Who is strong? One who conquers his yetzer. Who is honored? One who honors others. You could already see where we're going with this. So the Abarbanel says that the three in our Mishnah, Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, line up directly with Ezu Ashir Hasomech Bechalko, Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, and Ezeh Mechubar Mechaber Es HaBrios. So let's do it one by one. We won't read it inside because I think we could just do this conceptually. Who is rich? He who is happy with his lot is the antidote to kinna. If I'm envious of what everybody else has, I'm not happy with my lot. So the counterpoint is being happy with your lot. So the first perek, the first mishnah, the fourth perek, lines up directly with the last mishnah in the perek. Second bullet point, HaKovesh Es Yitzro, Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, who is strong, he who conquers his desire, lines up with Taiva, with desire. So we have Kina, we have Taiva. And then the easy one is Kavod. Ezu Mechubar Mechaber Es HaBrios, who is honored, somebody who honors others. So in the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Perek is matching up to the beginning of the Perek, and their bullet point talking about the same exact thing. Counterpoint, point, counterpoint. This is the way to get rid of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Ezu Ashir, Ezu Gibor, Ezu Mechubar. Beautiful idea from the Abarbanel. And then the Abarbanel gives us another concept where he says, and I think this is a good last summary point, and it relates to what we mentioned last week, hinted at, which is, why these three? Getting back to that big question, why these three? What the Abarbanel says is, there's no big chidushim here, there's no big novel teaching about these three, except that they are incorporating, and they are basically encompassing of so many other mitzvos and averos. These are the core, the least common denominator, the big theme, running theme between other mitzvos and averos. So let's look at how he presents this. He says, Keha'echad hu hakina. U'mizeh yimshach ha-gezel v'ha-oshek v'ha-una v'chol isurin shebe-mamon. Enviousness leads to so many sins, robbery, stealing, usury, overcharging, anything that has to do with money, and all the sins that come after money. She is so dem hu eyos adam mekane b'mamon chaver. I want money. I want other people's money. I'm envious of other people's money. And because of that, we have so many averos in the Torah. Lachin ba Torah and says, lo signov, lo sachmod, lo sashok, lo sonu ish es echav, es achiv. So many mitzvos in the Torah pertain to not taking other people's money. Va'le amar achacham, lo ra'isi chom es nafsho kemekana avala. And then he goes and he brings psukim from Mishlei and Navi and other concepts in Chazal. His point here is that this is not a novel teaching. The fact that kina, that envy can be motzias adam in a olam, is not some big, huge, mind-boggling idea. But what it is that it encompasses so many other pieces to religious life and to so many other mitzvos and averos. And let's go now and study all the things that that fall into this category of kinah. It's not the first time we've seen it in Pirkei Avos, and it's not supposed to be the first time we saw it in Pirkei Avos. It's a big picture umbrella concept that incorporates and encompasses so many other concepts. The second piece is taiva. What's incorporated and encompassed in taiva? It includes kolo machalos asuros, visurei arayos, any sins when it comes to sexuality, and any sins when it comes to improper, inappropriate eating. All of that comes down to taiva and tainug agashmi, wanting physical desires and physical pleasures. And that's lo sinof. You have part of the Ten Commandments. Uvan nilchad Adam rishon v'chava v'ishto. This is the first sin that Adam and Chava sinned about. It was all about taiva, desire, and David and Shlomo. And you look through Navi, look through Chumash, look through Mishle, look through Chazal. You'll see this all over the place. This is prevalent. Taiva is another big pillar of where we go wrong. And the final one is kavod. Kavod nichnasu tachtav hamalvim pnei chaveru barabim, includes embarrassing others, v'mischaved bekolon chaveru, and trying to get honor from the disgrace of others. And this is related to lo sirtzach, to not killing others. And then he goes on and he tells us other mamarim in Pirkei Avos, other statements in Pirkei Avos, other statements in the Gemara, other statements in Navi. Because again, kavod is a big one. These are big three, as it were. We had Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim are the big three pillars of the good things of Jewish life. Kinah, Taiva, and Kavod are the big three of the negative things in Jewish life. So with this, what we see is that this isn't some big novel chiddush. This is not a new teaching. It's a summary and an encompassing of other teachings. Kinah, Taiva, and Kavod. And to close off, in the bottom of the new sheet, this is not in the old sheets, in the bottom of the new sheets, we have five text boxes, and perhaps we could have done more, where we line up as a summary how Kinah, Taiva, and Kavod relate to the other concepts that we've seen so far in this year. And we'll go horizontally here. Kinah relates to Ayin Hara from Perek Bey's Mishnah Yud Aleph, relates to Hakovesh Es Yitzro, to conquering one's desire, from Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, that was the Abar Benel. Ayin Hara was the Medrash Shmuel. The Choli Surin Shebimamon relates to all monetary sins, that was the Abar Benel. And then, as the Medrash Shmuel told us, it also relates to the concept of Al Tistakel B'Kankan, don't look at the externals, meaning be ready to learn from everybody, not just somebody who looks old and looks like they are a venerable teacher and has 50 years of teaching under their belt. You can learn from anybody, even if they're young. Those all relate to kinah. Taiva matches up with Yetzer Hara, matches up from Hasomeach Bechelko, being happy with one's lot. All the physical, material desires that lead us astray, and the concept of looking at the externals, that physicality, the shimmer, the shine, the sparkle, and not looking at what's inside, the importance, the spirituality, the moments of quietness, not just the glamour. And then kavod lines up with sinas habrios, not liking other people, because my desire for kavod will push me away from people. V'machabed es habrios lines up to Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, that if I want to be honored, then my way of getting honored is by honoring others, and relates to so many interpersonal sins within the Torah, including embarrassing people, killing people on an extreme level. And Al Tistakel B'Kankan, don't look on the outside, don't judge people how they look on the outside, honor everybody. It doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter what they look like, it doesn't matter what you think about them, we should be honoring people, no matter where they are. No matter what they look like, no matter what I think about them, on the outside, there's something inside that I want to honor. There's something inside that I want to respect. And with that, we conclude this part of the Mishnah. And we'll continue next week. I believe next week will be our last Mishnah in Perek Dalet, which is exciting. So we'll do a mini Siyum of the Perek. And then we will hopefully Zoom will figure out all of their issues by then, so we'll be able to meet on Zoom as well as on Facebook. But for that, we'll call it quits. I'm not going to ask for questions because I don't trust the Zoom at this point. So you'll have to send me questions and we'll answer them on an individual level.